code and enter to win $1,000 a week. It's that simple, and it's only at Terrible's.
Never miss another show. Stream us live or listen to past podcasts 24/7 at lbsportsnetwork.com. This is Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today. Your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys. 702-820-1234 is how you get a hold of them, especially when you need help because you deserve what's right. Visit them at samandash.com. Time to roll into a Wednesday midweek. We got some updates from Raiders. Of course, they get back to practice on Wednesday. We got our first injury report. But first, I bring in my co-host, Q Myers. Q, how you doing on this hump day, brother?
I'm doing really well, man. Excited to be here and fired up just about, you know, what the Raiders are going to do the rest of the week as they prepare for this game against the Cleveland Browns, a game that I think is a pretty good game, pretty big game, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely. I agree. I think, as I said yesterday towards the end of our show, I think it's a must win for them, even more so than the Charger game. I know, you want to put two in a row, but still, I just think coming off of what happened the last few weeks, to go to Cleveland and to beat them there on the road, you know, get a little road bonding, although I don't know how much bonding they can do all stuck in the rooms, but I just think it would be huge. But I gotta tell you, dude, my Tuesday night just absolutely blew because the friggin' Dodgers won. You know,
I ain't mad at them. I didn't have a dog in the fight. I'm actually glad that they won, so everyone can stop saying that, hey, they haven't won since 88.
Yeah,
I'm so tired of hearing about 88. I'm glad that now they can say, hey, they won in 2020.
Yeah, I know. I just think, though, that like if you're a Raiders fan, right? So if the Chiefs are in the playoffs, you want them to lose, right?
I mean, I do, but I was also at the Super Bowl when they won, so there's that.
Well, you were there. That's the event. You were working all that, but you didn't want them to win, right?
I didn't really have an option. It was the Chiefs or the Niners. Either way, I lose.
That's true. That's an unusual one.
Yeah.
But if it's the Chiefs or any team that Raiders fans dislike,
right,
you don't want to see that team win. It doesn't matter. It's not like, oh, well, yeah, so the Chargers are in the Super Bowl, they're our division, so we're going to cheer. No, you just don't do that, right? You hate them.
No, I don't like that. I will say, and I know a lot of Raider fans don't like me when I say this, I like Patrick Mahomes a lot. I really do. Yeah. I liked him when he was at Texas Tech. I respect the hell out of him. I think he's going to be a great pro. I just hate the fact that the Chiefs drafted him, but I like Patrick Mahomes a lot.
Well, what's not to like? First of all, from a talent perspective, and then as a human being, he's just a good dude. He's a good dude, and yeah, okay, you don't want them to win, but you kind of put that aside because he's such a good guy. I mean, there's a lot of players I feel that way about, even though, like, for example, the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not a Cardinal fan. I don't really care what happens with the Cardinals, but Larry Fitzgerald to me is one of the best guys to ever play in the NFL. So I'm a huge Larry Fitzgerald fan.
Yep. And no, so, that's real.
Yeah, and when I see him have a good day or a good night or whatever it may be, or he does something good in the community, then I cheer him. I just do. It's just the way it goes. And so I feel you on that one. But, yeah, the Dodgers won. And I was talking a little trash to Dodger fans a couple nights ago. I wasn't really talking trash. I was just kind of rubbing it in a little bit. And, of course, they all throw at me, well, you're trash team, which is true. My team is trash. They've only been in the playoffs once in 12 years. So I get it. So I don't fight back on that. You got me on that. But I just hate when the Dodgers win.
Right.
But I'm with you.
I understand.
Now you don't have to hear it. But you know, you're an A's fan, too. You guys get all disrespected all the time. So you know where I'm at with that. But anyway.
Exactly.
We're here to talk Raiders football today. And just a quick rundown of what's on the show today. Mr. Mo Moten, our senior NFL columnist at Silver and Black Today, also a contributor over at Bleacher Report. He's going to join us, and he's got the answers, Q. He's got three of them. He said today in his column, three ways the Raiders defense can get better now. Okay? So I'm assuming by Sunday.
Okay.
So we will talk to Mo about that. He'll go through the three kind of recommendations he has. And none of them involve firing coaches, just so we're clear.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Because that's not happening.
Exactly. So we have that set up, but he's going to explain to you why. And while people are out there trying to come up with 18-way trades, and we should go get this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, and so that your salary cap doesn't exist because you're $100 million over, like the realism is not there amongst a lot of you in social media and Raider Nation. You need to be a realist. You need to figure out how you fix this thing without trading 18 guys and firing the coach, because that's just not going to happen. Now, the other thing is, top of next hour, Jason Owen. So he's an NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. He's going to join us, too, about the whole NFL COVID situation. And particularly, we'll talk about the Raiders. He's not a Raiders writer. He's not a Raiders hater. So just put that aside. He covers the NFL. So he's covered the COVID issue throughout the NFL. We're going to bring him on for an objective look at the Raiders, because we heard John Gruden again talk about how proud he was of the organization and crushing the virus and all that stuff. So we're going to talk to him about what's going on in the NFL as we almost reached the halfway point, Q, kind of how have things gone? What have some teams done really well? What have some teams not done well?
Right. So, well, I mean, this COVID thing is it is what it is, man. It's, mm-hmm. it's one of these tough things, and every team's got to deal with it. I know the NFL put out their numbers, and I'm looking for it. I can't find it. They sent me the email, and I can't find it now.
Yeah. We'll talk about that with him, though, because the other thing with COVID news today in the NFL, Q, was that they've announced, or at least it's being floated out there, the Super Bowl will probably have around 20% capacity.
Yeah. That's crazy. And, you know, it's really something I'm very interested in because – you know, every year I go to the Super Bowl and do Radio Row,
yep.
which is in a big, for anyone who has never been there or doesn't know what I'm talking about, it's basically you're in a big conference room or a couple conference rooms, and there's radio station on top of radio station, on top of TV station, just station after station after station, kind of piled up on each other like sardines. You know, it's really tight fitting, and people walk around. You know, there's football players, you know, former football players, athletes of all kind, UFC fighters walking around, and they stop at your table and they put on a headset and talk to you for 10, 15 minutes. And then they go on to the next one. How in the world is that going to be possible during the era of COVID-19?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree, Q. And the thing is, too, you talk about Radio Row. I just don't see how it's going to happen, like you said.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how is that possible?
Well, the only way I can see it, so there's designations amongst the media for this COVID period. When they set this all up, there's what they call Tier 2 media. Those are the folks like Vinny, and I'm fortunate enough to be in that group this year, where they test you every day, right?
Right.
And so I don't know if they're going to allow certain people in, you know, a smaller number. So, you know, which kind of sucks for a lot of folks, because if you're not in a bigger market, the great thing about Radio Row, like when you go, being there in Central Texas, or if you were in Wichita, or if you were in Dayton, Ohio, wherever you are, if you're not in a top 10 market, it's awesome because you get so much access, you get so much great content, and it's really good PR for the NFL as well. So if they cut that back down, that's who it hurts the most. It's going to hurt markets where you're not able to do it. Now, last year, too, though, also, Q, I don't know if you noticed this, but they had a separate room that was Podcast Row.
Yeah.
So
I know.
Yeah. So they had Podcast Row as well, which I'm sure is going to be gone. But the 20% capacity, the Super Bowl, very interesting. A lot of money is going to be gone. But hey, every business in the United States has suffered massive business losses. So why not the NFL? But they're going to have to do that. So that's what we're hearing today. By the way, too. So we're going to talk later. We'll talk a little bit interseated here about possible trades. What could the Raiders do to get better? We want you to join in that conversation. 702-365-9200 is the number to get on with Q and I to talk Raider football. Also, you can reach out on the Sam and Ash text line. 69186 is the number there. But Q, here's what I don't understand. And I really, I've over the last 6 weeks, I kind of kept a tally. And that was, I don't know of any other fan base, other than the Raider fan base, that continually wants to go back to the past, like the recent past, the recent not so great past. Daryl Worley's being cut by the Cowboys. And I'm seeing people say, we should go get Daryl Worley back.
Do people? No, Daryl Worley stinks.
Right. Do you forget why he's not with the Raiders anymore? I mean,
no, I think Raider fans, and I think fans in general, are just looking for answers. And, you know, they see a name and they see someone familiar. It's kind of going back to what I was saying about Will Compton the other day. Like, it's just, you know, it's a familiar name. It's like, oh, man, he was great. No, he gave good effort, but he wasn't great.
Yeah, yeah. But that's my point, is I've seen it more. And look, the Raiders are 3-3. The defense has massive issues. I get it. You need answers, right? But the answer is not going backwards and going to get guys that you've already cut or cut bait with. It's right, just not, exactly. You don't go backwards. That's like saying, well, you know what? I mean, I've been married for a long time, but if I had a girlfriend and she was my third girlfriend ago, well, yeah, I'm single now. I'm going to go back and call now. If you're doing...
Well, that happens sometimes.
It does.
It's the baby mama effect.
Yeah, right. So you do that, but at the same time, it's like that's never going to get you to move forward. It's only getting you to move back.
Right.
So when you talk about Will Compton and you talk about Daryl Worley, I'm Vontaze Burfict, which I know Gangster Raider calls in and he's on the phone. He's going to come on in a second. But the point is, like, you don't go backwards. You just don't go backwards. That's not the answer. It didn't work.
And I think that, no, it didn't work. But I think with Vontaze Burfict, and I think people said this, you know, weeks ago, he would be a guy that you might bring in as like a depth piece, just not a guy who's going to be a starter, not a guy who's going to be contributing a lot. But I mean, he's an extra body. He's another fallback guy just in case, because when he was there, and I will admit, he helped out with the run defense. The run defense was a lot better than it was after he got suspended. But again, I'm not a big fan of it, but I would get it if they did it.
Yeah.
It's not going to fix all the woes. It's just depth.
Yeah, no, I get you. Depth is good. I'm not saying going to get a guy for depth, that's one thing. And I don't argue against that.
That's all that would be.
Correct. But some folks have the idea that these guys like are magic. Remember how long it took for people to stop calling for the signing of Navarro Bowman?
Yeah, I remember that.
Nothing against Navarro. I'm just saying the ship had sailed, and so did most of his ability, okay? And so it's like, come on, guys. All right. So, but the to me, we're going to go out on the phone because Gangster Raider's there, and he's going to tell us again we need to sign Vontaze Burfict. Right, Gangster Raider?
First, I want to say Dodgers and rub it in both of y'all faces. You know what I'm saying? It's a big old party out here in L.A. You know what I mean? Even though I ain't a Laker fan, I'm a Clipper fan, but we still title town. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But anyway, what I wanted to say, I feel, even though we lost to Tampa Bay, I'm feeling real optimistic because I know we should play better because our biggest problem is the defensive line and Rob Marinelli and oh boy, Malik Collins. Y'all keep talking, especially you, Q. You keep talking about wait till he shows up. It's always we're almost halfway through the season. When is he going to show up? So I say we trade him for another piece, or try to go out and get Stephon Gilmore. What y'all think about that? Or also, the reason I say bring back Burfict because he knows the scheme. He was the one that was calling out the defense. Like oh boy, we just picked up. I can't think his name right now. The one that had arm injury. Yeah, Mikowski. He was the one calling it with him, and he could probably teach him better, or at least be like the other guy on the sideline that's helping call it. You know what I'm saying? Then when he comes in, if he goes out, Burfict can come in and still call the play. That's why I say sign Burfict. And I also think we need like a big body corner or DB that's 6'2" or better, because I think if we do make it to the Super Bowl, I think we're going to have to either see Seattle, who has that big old number 14, DK Metcalf, or we're going to have to see Tampa Bay again. They got Mike Evans. So I think we need a big body corner and a big body safety defending against them. And do you think that Rob Marinelli having Malik Collins not play good so they can try to sabotage Gunter? So do you think Gunter gets rid of, he'll get elevated to D.C.? What you think about that, Scott?
You know, I don't buy into that stuff. Gangster Raider, thanks, man. I appreciate your call, by the way. Very positive.
There's a lot of what-ifs in that call.
Yeah, a lot of what-ifs, but that's cool. I mean, I know Gangster Raider likes to think of scenarios, which is cool. Even coaching at the youth level, right? I know it's not the pro level. It's a whole different thing. I get it. But I don't see people undermining each other within an organization. I just don't see that, right? When you're around football teams, you're around professional organizations, you just don't see it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I just don't see that happening with this group and with this coaching staff. So to answer that question, on Malik Collins, look, I think Malik Collins, when Paul Gunther has media availability, which I think should be tomorrow, I'm asking the question. I've decided. I'm just telling everybody. I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to say, hey, listen, at the beginning of the year, you compared him to Geno Atkins. Where is he right now, and what does he have to do to get to where you believe he could have been? Because that question needs to be asked. What is the issue? Did they miss?
He's got to show up.
He's got to show up.
Which is something.
Right.
And going back to what Gangsta Raider said, that we're talking about, you know, just wait till he shows up. Actually, we haven't said that in weeks. We've actually been calling him out for weeks and saying, where is this dude? Where is he? John Gruden said, Paul Gunther said, we've been saying exactly what you're saying for weeks, that Malik Collins has been a no-show. He's been a major disappointment. None of us are saying just wait till he shows up. At this point, in this part of the season, I don't feel like he's going to show up. If he hasn't showed up by now, what makes you think he's going to show up a little bit later?
Right, and that's why I want to ask the question of Paul Gunther, just to say, look, you guys compare, you set the expectation, not the media, not the fans,
right.
The
exactly.
Coaches, the coaches.
I saw him play well in Dallas, so I was excited when they brought him in because I know he's working with Rob Marinelli, and he can set that tone that Marinelli wants. But right now, through six games, none of that has showed up. And so that's been a problem on not only Malik Collins, but on Rob Marinelli as well. And going to his point about, do you think he would undermine Paul Gunther? Marinelli don't care about titles.
No.
He doesn't care about being the defensive coordinator. He let Chris Richard take over the defensive calls when he was in Dallas because he just wanted to get another bright defensive mind. He doesn't care about titles and all that. He just cares about winning and getting the best out of all their guys. And right now, he's not doing it, and Malik Collins ain't doing it either.
Right. John Gruden just spoke to the media a little while ago. And I know fans can stream that now too, so some of you have seen it. But when you're thinking about the defense making all these changes, coaches, personnel, one of the things that I think is underrated, but we've all been talking about, is how do you adjust the scheme? Because clearly you have players who've come in like Corey Littleton, who was a top 10 linebacker last year, who doesn't look anything like himself. So John Gruden addressed that today, talking about making some changes with the scheme.
Pretty good way of looking at it. The lab, the projector, I should have said, but when you're a coach, you know, you try to act like you're sophisticated, I guess. You know, we had a great meeting with the coaches. We had an opportunity to look at everything that we have done, and we have a chance to really talk about our personnel extensively. And we're going to make some changes, no doubt, with the scheme. How much, I don't know, but you'll see some things that you didn't see last week this week.
Well, there you go. Everybody who's asking for changes to the scheme, I think you're going to get them Sunday in Cleveland, Q.
Well, that's good. I mean, there needs to be some changes. You need to be able to look at the players. Like you mentioned, they brought in guys that were successful at other places, and they're not being successful on the Raiders' side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I look at a guy like LaMarcus Joyner, and we brought this up, I believe, yesterday on this show. The guy was a safety when he was in L.A. Now he's playing nickel corner. His natural position is safety. He's actually a really good safety there. They should put him there. They should allow, and I got this call yesterday on the on my podcast, got a call about the fact that Trayvon Mullen should be playing more man-to-man, you know, press man coverage.
Yep.
You know, there's guys like Mo Hurst should be playing more, getting more reps. You know, just whatever you got to do, whatever these guys do really well, you've got to allow them to do that. And so if you've got to bend and not actually coach exactly the same way that you always coach, that's fine. Just set these guys up for success. That's your main job as a coach.
You're right. Now, as far as personnel, he talked about personnel changes there, which is a good thing. I think practice during the NFL season is not like training camp. It's not like they're going at it 5 days a week in pads, right? But they're going to have to get those guys out there to compete. But when it comes to trades, because they brought up the trade deadline coming up on your birthday, Q, and Gruden talked about it, in essence, didn't say they're not going to make a trade and basically cautioned people not to get too excited about what they've seen so far.
Well, we have to look at it realistically. Honestly, I'm not going to get into our position. That's really for Mike Mayock and I and our organization to talk about. We're always looking for ways to get better. There's a lot of speculation out there, but reality and speculation are two different things. We're going to continue, like I said, to develop our players. And I'm not saying a trade is out of the question, but some of the trades that I've seen thrown out there are a bit unrealistic.
There you go. Unrealistic.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think Stephon Gilmore from from New England is a bit realistic. I would like it. I would love that trade.
I think
he's a heck of a player. But I get nervous when the Patriots are trading someone away. You always have to wonder why.
Yeah.
And then two, I mean, again, why are the Patriots trying to trade him away? You know, so I just don't see that as a possibility.
Yeah, we'll talk about some guys later in the show that I think are realistic based on what I've been reading, what I've been seeing, and looking at rosters and teams who might be sellers. And some of those teams, by the way, that are supposedly listed as sellers, like Philadelphia, like Washington, they're in the worst division. And I don't know that you can trade those. You might win your division with six wins.
Right.
So I don't know if you can trade those guys. It all really depends, unless they all just start tanking at the same time to try to get Trevor Lawrence. Well, at least a few of them. But we'll see how that goes. Okay, we're going to step aside, and we're going to get one more call in. We're going to get T3 from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, is on the line, wants to talk Raiders football.
Good day.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Oh, not a lot. Listen, got a lot of trade talk coming on. Two guys in particular I'm really interested in, and I know that Q's probably talked about these two guys, but Quinnen Williams is the first guy, and he's the guy I really wanted them to draft in 2019. But I think if we could go with the third and the fifth, I think he's probably worth the effort.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, T3, yesterday on this show, because and I think he is. I mean, I like that guy. He's young. He's come on here. He struggled a little bit, but then even on a bad team, he's shown much more this season. And I like that because that's a guy that you got a few years left on his rookie deal, and if he can prove himself, it could be a guy that anchors the middle of that line for you for quite some time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The other guy that I was looking at is Anthony Harris. Now, we passed on Byron Jones in the offseason. And we gave a pass on Jamal as well. But now, with this guy coming up, I know he's on a franchise tag, but I think he definitely bolsters the back end of that defense and will be worth a look.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot, T3. Appreciate it. Okay. Good call. And we'll talk some more names later on when we get to trades. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll take some more of your calls. 702-365-9200 is the number to get on with Q and Scott to talk Raiders football trade stuff. Who do you want to talk about? The blame for the defense, who's disappointed you, who's surprised you, let us know. In addition, we'll be joined by Mo Moten, our senior NFL columnist at Silver and Black Today. Make sure you check out his column today over on silverandblacktoday.com. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
It's an East Coast road trip for the Silver and Black as John Gruden, Derek Carr, and the Raiders head to Cleveland to battle with a tough Browns team fighting for life in a stacked AFC North. Listen Sunday, kickoff at 10 here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Back here on this Wednesday, Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. 702-820-1234 is how you get a hold of them, because you deserve what's right, Raider Nation, no doubt. All right, we are moving on. We are bringing on our senior NFL columnist over at silverandblacktoday.com. Yes, we have a website. Why aren't you reading it? If you aren't, get over there. Especially today, because Mo's got a great piece up there. It's entitled, How to Address the Raiders' Defense and Make It Better Now. And this isn't theory. This is actually actionable stuff, because Mo knows his stuff. He's also a contributor over at Bleacher Report and Just Blog, baby. He's a busy dude. Mo, we usually have you on Friday, but you're actually getting some respite. You're getting some time off this weekend. Welcome to Silver and Black Today on a Wednesday.
I've been trying to get in a good mood, but people are trying to kill my vibes on social media. I dropped two positive articles, and people are like, well, why don't the Raiders just pack up and wait for a draft pick? I don't know what to do, guys. Give me some advice.
Yeah, as Q.
Get off of social media.
Yeah, there you go. That's part of it. But, yeah, it's crazy to think that there's some people who rather see the team lose. I mean, they don't say it like that. They don't say lose, but what they're recommending, just tearing things down when you're six games into the season, doesn't make a lot of sense, Mo.
I think it's just frustration with the defense. You feel like without a good defense, without a decent defense, the Raiders have no chance of winning the Super Bowl. And I'll say not a lot of people give the Raiders a chance to beat the Chiefs. They were underdogs against the Saints, and they pulled those games off. So you have to play on it and just see how things go.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, let's dive into this piece, Mo, where you talk about it. The first thing you talk about as far as a change And it went back to what I was talking about. What I'm going to ask Paul Gunther about tomorrow, if we get media time with him, is about Malik Collins and the lack of production there. Instead of going to Malik Collins, what your solution for that problem, I think, is one that Raider Nation overall has been behind this week, and it's kind of come up organically. A lot of the other writers and folks on the radio have talked about it, and that is give Mo Hurst more snaps.
Yeah, I believe he was the only guy to actually touch Tom Brady Sunday. So, I mean, I think people have been pining for this for 3 weeks into the season and saying, why not give Mo Hurst more snaps? And I think it's because the coaching staff has such high hopes for Malik Collins. As you know, he was called the key to the defense, and he was compared to Geno Atkins. And I think the Raiders are so stuck on Malik Collins being a factor that they're kind of resistant to give Mo Hurst his snaps, because that would mean Malik Collins is out, because, of course, you got to give Jonathan Hankins his snaps as well. But I think it's time to make that switch and kind of admit maybe you overestimated Malik Collins' ability to produce, and give the guy who is producing, give that guy the snaps, who is, again, Mo Hurst. Mo Hurst, who's pretty decent against the run, and he's also getting them a little bit of an interior pass rush. So I think he needs to be on the field for at least 50% of the snaps.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, I mean, at least he's given that effort. You see him all over the field. Even when he's not getting in the backfield, he's basically running sideline to sideline to try to get a ball carrier down on the ground. What about the back end? This is something that I know Raider Nation has been talking about for the longest, ever since the Raiders signed this guy as a free agent. But LaMarcus Joyner, at some point, will they just admit he's not a slot corner and put him back as a safety? And, matter of fact, I think a tandem with him and Jonathan Abram would be really nice.
Yeah, because the Raiders need some turnovers, and that's what he was able to do as a safety in 1 year with the Rams. I believe he had 3 picks in 1 season. As a slot corner, I just don't see it. The one thing that people aren't mentioning is he's a smaller guy, I believe about 5'8", 180, and he's been getting banged up a lot this year. Yep. And as an inside cornerback, you're going to be getting a lot of tackles, you're in a lot of action, and he just can't stay on the field consistently. So I don't think he's right for a slot cornerback position. Move him up to safety where he's less involved in the action and the scrums, and more able to read the quarterback and get some picks on the back end.
He is, absolutely. Again, we're talking to Mo Moten, our senior NFL columnist at silverandblacktoday.com. Also, read his stuff. He has a good column today, Raider-related column, up on Bleacher Report as well. Mo, the second thing that you say they need to do, and this is, we're going to paging Carl Nassib. Carl Nassib, please. Okay, so Carl Nassib, and you might think I'm making fun of Carl Nassib for not showing up, but as you point out, look, he is the second highest 2020 cap hit on the Raiders defense, and they've limited his role. So your solution is either trade the guy or play the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't sign a guy to that type of contract, and there is a commitment to him in dead cap, I believe, over $5 million next year if he's on the team. There's a commitment to him, and if you're going to commit to that type of player, why is he playing less than a third of the defensive snaps? Now, I know he broke his toe, but he played his most in the last game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe 54% of the snaps he played during that game. If you're going to commit or invest that type of money in him, at least let him play. At least give him a chance to show what he can do. He has 4 quarterback hits this year. I believe for a while, him and Mo Hurst had a half sack, and that was the best race to do before Max Crosby came on in the game. But you got to just give him an opportunity. I think that's part of the deal with the Raiders' defense is they got to give the guys, again, who have potential, who are putting together some good games, give them more opportunities, give them more snaps on their defense.
Yeah, it's very interesting, man. It's frustrating because you feel like these guys should be big time players because they were players at some point, you know, wherever they came from. And let me stick with the Rams, man. And you know, I already talked about LaMarcus Joyner, and how about Corey Littleton? You know, what do you think that the Raiders can do, Paul Gunther, John Gruden could do to get him out of the little funk that he's in and kind of not performing the way that they thought he should?
There has to be something going on with his assignments. Maybe his coverage is a little off. Maybe his angles are a little off at times. Maybe they're positioning him in the wrong spot. But there's no way a player who's a Pro Bowl caliber player goes from that to barely a starter in a new defense. And to me, that just points to a coaching schematic issue there because, again, you see players leave the Raiders, they do better, maybe except Darrell Worley. But there are most players leave the Raiders, do better. Players who are good in other places come to Raiders, and all of a sudden they're not starting caliber players. So to me, that's a schematic issue, and if they have to move them around, maybe flip him and Kwiatkowski, keep Kwiatkowski having the green dot, but kind of move around Corey Littleton, maybe give him some blitzes, But he's going to have to show up this Sunday because the Browns are going to depend on their tight ends with OBJ out. So I want to see how he does before I completely judge him, but it has to be something with his coverage assignment that has to improve.
And Mo, for your last way, the third way to make this defense better, or at least try to change it up and get it better, we have to get in the time machine. So we'll get into Q's mom's DeLorean, and we'll go back in time. And to 2019, the draft, when John Gruden called Isaiah Johnson the steal of the 2019 draft, but they haven't used him. And what you're saying here is, with Arnett still out and the troubles they've had there, why not use Isaiah Johnson in situations where he can go one-on-one, have him in controlled situations against athletic wide receivers on the perimeter, and let this guy, because of his size, the fact that he can catch the ball well too, because he's a former wide receiver, why not use Isaiah Johnson?
Yeah, and I heard Greg Stanks, the Raiders, say the Raiders need a 6'2 cornerback and deep in the back end because they're going to have to deal with DK Metcalf and Mike Evans if they go to the Super Bowl. I wouldn't go to the Super Bowl yet, but they're going to have to deal with some big wide receivers. And I would say they already have one, as you mentioned, Isaiah Johnson. 6'2", 210. Now, I know he was a former wide receiver, as you just mentioned, but he's now had 2 years with the Raiders. I know he didn't have a full preseason because he got hurt last year, didn't have a preseason this year, but I would say give him a shot. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You leave Nevin Lawson on the outside cover and Rob Gronkowski on the perimeter. You don't want Nevin Lawson on the outside of 5'9", 190. I wasn't a big Nevin Lawson guy. I don't mean to crush him. But this is a guy who I believe has played 79 games, no interceptions. He's just not an impact player. No more than 5 pass breakups since 2016. I'm done with the Nevin Lawson project. You need to put a guy out there on the outside who can track the football and get you some turnovers. And I think Isaiah Johnson can give you a shot if you just sneak him in for a few snaps. Again, you don't have to put him out there as a full-time starter, but just give him a shot because he has the size and he has the skill set to play the position.
What do you think about Amik Robertson? Do you think that he gets onto the field anytime soon and gets some burn? Because I'll tell you, Mo, I don't mind these guys getting some burn as youngsters and kind of learning on the fly. At least you feel like they're learning and they're going to build off of, you know, some older guys that are out there that aren't doing anything. You kind of know who they are.
Q, if it gets LaMarcus Joyner to move back to safety, I'm all for it. If you're going to stick Amik Robertson in the slot, I know he had a rough one against the Bills. But it was his first play. He got thrown out there. A lot of players made mistakes in that game. But I think if he's your future at the slot, you put him out there. And as you mentioned earlier in the show, LaMarcus Joyner should be playing safety because I think that's where he's at his best. And I guess if that's the move that gets that to happen, LaMarcus Joyner at the safety position, reading the quarterback, you got to do it. I know Amik Robertson is going to make his mistakes. But again, if he is the future, you got to put him out there at some point in time.
Mo, before we say goodbye to you and let you go on your vacation for a few days, I'm going to talk about Josh Jacobs for a minute, because one of the things that we've been talking about on the show, and we talked extensively, Q and I, yesterday about it, was the inability for the Raiders to get the running game going. And I think part of it's Josh Jacobs, but he doesn't deserve like blame or any piling on. But today he met with the media and he talked about trying to get the run going. I want you to listen to these two clips. The first one is him talking about trying to get the run going against the Buccaneers last Sunday.
I don't know. We had a lot of guys that didn't practice the whole week. You could tell that, like, we weren't all on the same page at the same time. It was kind of slow getting to certain reads and certain things. So that's the thing that I'd say, probably just not being able to have a full week of practice, or technically 2 weeks off for them guys, just coming in and trying to play.
Now, Mo, that explains last week, and it's totally plausible, and I appreciate Josh Jacobs actually being very honest there. But at the same time, this isn't a problem that just happened last week. They've been unable to really get that ground game going, and we know how important that is for John Gruden's offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say this, and a lot of people on Twitter told me, hey, it shouldn't matter. The offensive line's been playing together. It won't affect them not having practice. It won't affect them in the game. Well, you just heard it from Josh Jacobs that it did. I believe Colton Miller also said they had some miscommunication issues that may have caused some problems there. But you're right. They've had some issues running the ball, and Josh Jacobs hasn't been as efficient as last year. But I will say this. I wrote an article on Bleacher Report that says the Raiders shouldn't give up on their playoff hopes yet. And one of the things I say that because one of the things that I pointed out The offensive line as a whole, their starters, have only played three snaps altogether this year, and that's the three snaps that Trent Brown played in that first opening game before he went out with a calf injury. Of course, he missed a few games after that, and Richie Incognito has been out. So that offensive line as a unit, as a whole, has not been together this year at all, pretty much. Again, just three snaps. But with Trent Brown on the way back, hopefully, and Richie Incognito on the way back, hopefully, and that offensive line coming together, I think you get a better production out of that ground game and out of Josh Jacobs.
No doubt. And that's the thing. You look at the Raiders, and again, I always say, our good friend Kelly Kreiner, my former co-host, we always talked about the worst thing you want to be in the NFL, at least when the season ends. I'm not talking about right now, but it sort of relates, which is 500, because you're like, you got problems, you need to get better, but some things are going well, and you're kind of just floating along, right? But I think to your point about that offensive line and this running game, the fact that they've reached this point at 500, I'm not saying fans should be satisfied, because I know what fans want. They want a championship. I get it. At the same time, to be where you're at with all the adversity they've had, including the crap that happened off the field with the COVID stuff, is pretty, pretty good. And I know you kind of intimate that in your Bleacher Report piece about them still having a good shot of making the playoffs.
Definitely. Of course, it starts with a win Sunday. They have to beat the Browns Sunday. And I actually think they match up well against the Browns, as I pointed out in the tweet earlier. Since Kwiatkowski has come back, the Raiders have not allowed more than 85 rushing yards, and they've allowed 3.3 yards on the ground. That's third fewest in the league. So they can stop the run. The Browns are a run-heavy team, and I think they match up well. And as I just mentioned, with the offensive line coming together and Carr playing in Pro Bowl form, the best we've seen since 2016, you have to like the Raiders' chances of making the playoffs. If they can just get to 4-2 in the division and beat teams that they're supposed to beat, like the Falcons and the Jets, they have a legitimate shot to finish 9-7 and get a playoff spot.
Now, Mo, I know you're leaving the city for a few days. Is it going to be like a shock to your system to be able to like walk in a restaurant?
Yeah, absolutely, because everything is still shut down in New York City. It is just something that I've never thought I would see. It's supposedly the city that never sleeps, but we've been napping a little bit over the past few months, so yeah. It's going to be good to get out and get some fresh air and see some people.
Yeah, going on 9 months. Well, we appreciate all that you do, man. Enjoy some of that time off, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, appreciate you guys.
All right, there's Mo Moten, our senior NFL columnist, Silver and Black Today. Also, read him up on Bleacher Report. Follow him at MOEMOTON. And you can get on there. Let's talk. 702-365-9200. What'd you think of his solutions, Q, on getting that defense shored up a little bit?
Yeah, I'm with it. You know, I think that you got to do anything you can at this point to get that thing figured out. So I think it starts with guys that want to go out there and perform. I think Mo Hurst is a big time player. I think he's a guy that's actually, really putting all his effort out there on the field to make the most of what he's out there doing. So I'm with that 100%. I've been pounding the table for LaMarcus Joyner to get back to safety. And I know that John Gruden has been pretty hell bent on he's not going to do that. But I think that would be a good solution. I mean, there's a lot of good solutions that Mo was touching on right there. But again, it starts with players out there doing what they, you know, are expected to do and executing what's being called. And if they could do that and be on the same page, then, like I said, you're off to a good start.
Yeah, and the Carl Nassib thing, too, he's right on that. Either play the guy or admit you made a mistake and figure out how you get out of it. Because
right. Nobody's going to trade for that contract, though.
No, you'd have to eat it. But you'd have to eat or figure out something. But my point is, you have them. So, but then I wonder, too, are they not using him correctly? You've been on that for a week now, right? Which is, hey, why do you go get a guy and then ask him to do something? You talked about Joyner earlier. Why do you go get a guy and then you don't put him in his position or you don't play him enough? It makes no sense, especially when you invest that much money in him.
Exactly.
It's crazy. But I think that's what they need to do. Okay, we're going out to Dime. He's in Oaktown. He's in Oakland. He's joining us here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
It's Dane. What's up, fellas?
Oh, Dane. What's up, man? How you doing?
It's all good. So check it out. Q, real quick, you said LaMarcus Joyner, and I got issues with those. Like he's like the Oakland Coliseum after a game. He's trash everywhere. It don't matter where you put him on the field. He's trash. He's getting burnt. Look at his numbers. He gets burnt 98% of the time he's burnt.
Yeah.
He's got to get off the field. And it's crazy. And I proposed an answer to it earlier, and it's going to sound crazy, but it's going to make sense if you really think about it. Derek Carrier, the tight end. He ain't getting no run. He's just as fast as LaMarcus Joyner, and he's bigger. And he'll later, he can catch. So if the ball go out, he can catch. Put him in. He can't do no work. I can't do no work than LaMarcus Joyner. So you might as well put Derek Carrier out there, have him run the field, and see what he can do, because LaMarcus Joyner killing us. Every level, he's killing us every time he's on the field. You know
what
I mean?
He's at a slot position.
I think they got to make those type of changes. And also, one other thing we've been talking about, Trent Brown. If we don't know if Trent Brown is going to be there or not, but what we ain't paying attention to, when Denzel Gill was playing right tackle, we could run all day. Denzel Gill was getting out on pulls and everything. We could find somebody to take Denzel, because he's not doing great on the inside, but he does great on the outside. So we can put Denzel Good at right tackle if Trent Brown ain't there, and that'll spark up our running game all over again.
All right, bud. Thanks for calling. But Q, I think the point you were about to make was that Joyner's playing out of position. He's playing right in the slot. He's really a safety.
Exactly, which is a point that I've been making, I don't know, for a week now. He's in the slot. He came over from the Rams, where he was very good as a safety with his eyes in the backfield the whole time. That's where, if you're going to play him there. He's getting burnt because he's not good in the slot. I mean, I agree with your call, except for the fact that you're kicking him off the field when the Raiders are just playing him in the wrong position.
Yeah, and they need help at safety right now, so you could use
him there. I mean, Eric Harris ain't cutting it either.
No. And again, we're about to go to a break here, but the one thing that jumped out in most piece for me, too, was Isaiah Johnson. It's time to find out if the kid can do it.
Yeah.
So put him out there. You need help. It's the best time to do it. And I'm hoping, from what John Gruden said we heard earlier in that clip, I'm hoping that's what we're going to see. We're going to see some guys out there and see if they can do better. I mean, what do you have to lose at this point? Your defense has been sucking wind. You might as well try it. It's time to step aside for a break. We come back, we'll roll on with your calls in the conversation. 702-365 is the number, 365-9200. I might want to give the final four digits. 702-365-9200 to get on, to talk to Q, talk to me, and talk Raiders football, only here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Back here on the Silver and Black Today, Q Myers, Scott Colbranson, your guides. Yeah, a little bit of Japanese flair in that song.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Makes us think of our buddy Chris Chapman, who's over there, who I guess they had an earthquake. I saw Chapman tweet that he was woken up by an earthquake over there.
Wow. Well, I guess he feels like he's still on the West Coast then.
Yeah. I said, well, that's what happens when you haven't seen your wife in several months.
Whoa.
But we move on.
That was a personal one, man.
We move on, and we bring in on the Raider Nation hotline. It is Mark up in the Bay Area. He's listening to Raider Nation Radio. He's streaming us. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Scott. You know, I've heard a lot. I turned in about a half hour ago, and I've heard a lot about the players, but I haven't heard much about the coaching. I mean, these guys are all in it together, and, you know, you look at Nassib, the guy, you know, he's proven he's done it in the past where he's gotten like 6-7 sacks, you know, under Marinelli and Gunther, no dice so far. And I got to correct you on one thing. You know, we have seen under this system what he can do. He played just as many snaps as Cleveland Farrell. They got about 39 each in the last game. That's another guy. I mean, you know, he had the one good game the game before against the Chiefs. But I guess my point is, you know, I look at Gruden on that 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2. You got to go for it there. You know, your defense isn't the 2000 Ravens or the 85 Bears. I had no confidence we were going to stop them. You know, you got to keep pace. And I don't know why he didn't go for it there. He's been pretty conservative in their other couple losses. And then Paul Gunther, I mean, you know, year after year we hear he doesn't have the players. You know, it's always something, you know. But, you know, like I said, Nassib's proven in other systems. That kid McMillan that they brought over from the Dolphins, you guys have had him on the radio. The guy, you know, he's a former second-round pick and had over 100 tackles. He doesn't even play. I don't know. I'm not a big – Gunther, you know, are we going to hear this next year too with Gunther? It's like year after year. It's like – I don't know. I think it's more the system. Third and 13, and you can't get off the field. How do you – I mean, coaching-wise, they are just not on par, especially defensively. You know, Gruden's a great coach, but defensively they are just not well coached. You cannot let 3rd and 13, and this happens time and time. I mean, Q, I know you've followed the Raiders a long time. Am I wrong? I mean, this defense to me is just it's always the same thing, it seems like.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right about that. And a lot of times for years, over years and top of years and top of years of following the Raiders, they've notoriously given up 3rd and long. And it's the most mind-boggling thing because it's the one thing you can't do. 3rd and 13, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11, any of that, you've got to get off the field. And notoriously, they don't.
Yeah, and Mark, I agree with you on coaching. There's responsibility there. But I think if you listen to the last segment with Mo, we talked about him. All of his recommendations, while they include players – each one of his recommendation was to play certain players more. I mean, it was Mo Hurst playing more than Malik Collins, and it was Carl Nassib playing more. Now, Nassib played 54% of the snaps last game, like you mentioned, so maybe they've gotten wise to that and they're changing it. And then he said, play Isaiah Johnson now on the outside. So I think we're there with you. What we're just not doing is we're not going on there and just blasting the coaches and not talking about the whole defense, right?
It's the whole product.
Yeah, it's the whole product.
It's the coaches, it's the players, it's everything. It's not working.
No, exactly. All right, we're going back on the phone lines. Our good friend El Paso Raider, you're on with Q and Scott. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, just calling in. I'm going to go ahead and pile up on what you guys were just talking about with the previous caller, you know. Yes, I believe it's a scheme. You know, I'm going to pile up on that with let the young bucks start going in there and start playing, you know, give them some playing time, you know, let Robinson get in there, put Joyner back at safety. Lawson, he shouldn't be out there. Give the other young kid from Houston, I believe, let him get in there. You know, and then I've been saying for a longest time, let Maurice Hurst play more. You know, Maurice Hurst, he's a motor guy. He's a Gruden grinder, and I don't know why Gruden doesn't allow that. I mean, that's all on Paul Gunther. He has to activate a certain amount of players every Sunday. And he needs to know which player he's going to activate and which player he's going to play. And that's the problem. He's not prepared, in my opinion. There's no preparation there. There's no development. They're afraid to let these young bucks play. We're going to get burned. It doesn't matter anymore. I mean, our defense doesn't play any good. Let the young bucks get burned, get some experience, and get in there, you know. I just don't know what else to do. Yeah, you want to change personnel now, but that cannot keep happening. You can't keep changing personnel. You can't keep doing that and blaming the players. You know, something has to give. The system has to change, in my opinion. You can't play that soft zone, that vanilla defense. Attack it. You know, Marinelli, he has to play with what he has, which Paul Gunther dials up the blitzes. He dials up the interior. So Marinelli is just letting him do it. You know, he needs to step in and say, you know what, let's do this. Change it up. Disguise some guys. Send a blitz. Send a linebacker. Send a safety. Something. Something has to happen.
Yeah, thank you, El Paso Raider. Appreciate it, man, as always. But I think that's what we heard from John Gruden. He said we're going to see some new things this weekend against the Browns, and we're going to see some probably personnel changes.
Right, exactly. I will say, and I said it yesterday, but I'll go back to it, that defense is a lot different without Jonathan Abram out there. That's the guy that they definitely need. I'm not saying he solves all the problems, but he does a lot. You know, he disguises a lot of issues that they may have. He kind of erases those issues, or at least attempts to erase them. I feel like they line up better. They communicate better when Jonathan Abram is out there.
We are at the top of the hour break. We are done with hour number one of Silver and Black today here on this Wednesday from Las Vegas, Nevada. When we come back, we're going to talk about COVID-19. The Raiders, of course, they've run afoul of the protocols. We're going to talk to Jason Owens from Yahoo Sports about that and what the league is doing in light of the news today that there'll be about 20% capacity at the Super Bowl come hopefully February, if they don't extend the league. So we're going to take that break. When we come back, we'll be right back here talking Raider football with Scott, with Q on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.